reverence to God, please stand as you were to it. Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two disciples, telling them, "Go into the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there with her foal. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Tell daughter Zion, see, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and its foal. Then they laid their clothes on it, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in an uproar, saying, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Let me see. Sunday, we were looking at Jesus heading from Jericho up toward Jerusalem. He's about 15 miles away at Jericho, and it's an uphill walk. It's sort of like people always say when they're telling their children about school, yeah, "I used to walk to school in the snow, and it was uphill both ways, there and back." We always tell the story, something like that, probably make it seem so much worse when we were there. But it was uphill for Jesus going to Jerusalem from Jericho. And outside of the old Jericho, before you get to the new Jericho, there were two blind men along this busy road looking for someone, hoping to someone, not looking, hoping to look, looking for someone to give them something as they beg for finances. And they heard the crowd coming along. And the two blind men, when they heard the crowd, they called out and asked, "Who is it?" They say, "It's Jesus from Nazareth." And they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The Son of David is a title referring to the Messiah, the promised one coming. And the blind men could see Jesus was more than a prophet from Nazareth. He was the coming promised Messiah. They cried out, but the crowds said, "Be quiet. We don't want to bother Jesus with your triviality." They didn't think the blind men needed Jesus' attention, because they wanted Jesus all to themselves. But Jesus waited till the crowds told the blind men to be quiet. And then, after the crowds told them to be quiet, they kept calling out to Jesus. And Jesus called for the blind men. One of the blind men's name was Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, when he was told Jesus was calling for him, threw his cloak, his coat off, and ran to Jesus. Now, a blind man might have a little trouble finding his coat, but Bartimaeus wasn't worried about being blind when he came back. He went to Jesus. Jesus says, "What will you have me do for you? We want to see." And Jesus opened their eyes, and they followed Jesus. They were still in this crowd, I imagine, when we come to our passage today. As they are approaching Jerusalem, on coming up from the east side, there's the Mount of Olives, and on one side is Bethphage, and on the other side is Jerusalem. And Jesus sends two of his disciples ahead, and he explains, you're going to find a donkey and a colt, the foal of the donkey, tied up. Now, I like what one commentator said. It wasn't that he was right there, and he said, go get those over there. He gave them instructions where to find his donkey. And he gave them instructions what to say, because he knew somebody's going to ask. One of the other gospel accounts says it was the owner of the donkey that asked. And Jesus had told the two disciples, tell them, the Lord needs them. And so when the two disciples went to get the donkey and the colt, someone asked them, why are you untying the donkeys? Lord needs them. They sent them on their way, just like Jesus had said would happen. They followed Jesus' directions. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. Let's turn there. That's on page 1153. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That was written 500 years before Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And also, if you look at Daniel chapter 9, in verse 25. Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until an anointed one, the ruler, will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be rebuilt with applause and a moat, but in difficult times. After those 62 weeks, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the coming ruler will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come with a flood, and until the end there will be war, desolation, or decree. Now, in Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks, or 70 weeks of years, there's 490 years. 483, that's 62 plus 7, 69 weeks of the year, 483 years from the issuing to go back and rebuild Jerusalem is the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. We've often looked, and I've often mentioned, about why the religious leaders weren't expecting the Messiah. Remember Jesus, they knew where he would be born, in Bethlehem, as they told the Magi. And they also knew Daniel's prophecy. They knew when the decree to go back and rebuild Jerusalem was, but they weren't waiting, saying, this is the year. They were focused on themselves and their power and their position of authority. But Jesus fulfilled the scripture. Recently, Queen Elizabeth passed away in England, and there was a coronation of the new king in England. And there was much pomp and circumstance. Charles did not ride a donkey. Charles, when he was going to his coronation, rode in a fancy chariot gilded in gold with horses drawing it. with a large entourage, a group leading him, following him. He came with all the wealth that he could show, went into the church, and the bishop gave him the crown. But Jesus didn't come that way. He came humble. Not riding on a white horse, not in a fancy chariot, not in a fancy wagon, but on the back of a donkey, a humble piece of burden. Jesus fulfilled the scripture. And as he was coming in, people laid their cloaks, and were told in with John that it was, they cut palm branches. Matthew, Mark said they just cut branches from trees, but they cut the palm branches and laid them down. This is a sign of someone acknowledging that whoever's riding over it, they recognize as their king. A sign of subservience. We are acknowledging you are worthy to rope, ride over our clothes. We submit ourselves to you. And the crowd was cheering and shouting, Hosanna! Now, Hosanna is Hebrew for save us, we pray. However, the crowd was focused on a different plan for Messiah than Jesus, the Messiah himself, had. They were adding the attitude of save us from the Romans. They had shouted the same thing almost 150 years earlier when Judas Maccabees came in, and they were calling for him to save them from the Greeks. Well, now, Hosanna, save us, we pray. Save us from the Romans. A few days earlier, the high priest had prophesied that it is better that one man die than the whole nation perish. Caiaphas didn't know what he was saying, but the Holy Spirit used his words. Caiaphas, even though he was instrumental in being against Jesus, proclaimed that he should die because they didn't want the wrath of the Roman government if there was a revolution. And the crowd following Jesus were looking to Jesus to be that revolutionary leader, the one coming in to kick out the Romans, to bring a victory over the Roman oppression. But Jesus was coming to bring a victory, but bringing a victory over the oppression of sin and the consequences of sin. And it says the city was in an uproar. Who is this? They were asking. Well, Jesus did most of his ministry and teaching outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a place where the major Roman soldier garrison is located. They even had a fort right next to the temple. And if they're thinking, here's coming someone to start a fight with the Romans, they're a little concerned about the situation. Who is this? And we need to ask ourselves, who is Jesus? Is Jesus a great philosopher who wrote a self-help book of how to live a better life? Is he a great doctor that healed many diseases that other people couldn't heal? Is he a revolutionary coming to start a war? Is he one that tells you just be a pacifist? Is he a genie? granting your every wish as long as you say your prayer and add in Jesus' name. Some people think all those types of things today. They were thinking many of the same things when Jesus came into Jerusalem. And they answered, who is this? This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. The term the prophet was referring to Moses' teaching that after him, a prophet would come just like him to set things right with Israel. So they say, he's the prophet. His name is Jesus. He's from Nazareth. They didn't recognize him as the Messiah that was coming to save Israel and the entire world from the consequences of their sin. They just said, he's this prophet that's going to do what we want. Within a week, the crowd would say, Hosanna, would be saying, crucify him. Jesus didn't do things the way they thought he should. But what Jesus did, we benefit from. Jesus didn't lead a revolution to free Israel from a foreign army. He led a revolution to set everyone free from the consequences of sin. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back as the conquering king that he is. We have a choice. Who are we going to recognize Jesus as? God, come to save us from our sins, who humbled himself so that we can have forgiveness? Or are we looking to make a Jesus of our own imagination to do something else? To make us healthy, wealthy, and wise. Jesus came to forgive our sins. He's returning. He returns where we spend eternity to set all things right. Here on earth, as well as in Jerusalem. At the name of Jesus, we pray. Every time we confess, and every need will come. Let us remember who Jesus is. Lord, thank you for what you've done. I pray that we'll honor you in our lives, sharing with others the truth of who you are, as you pray in our situation.